Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi, which is Nedarim Daf Chaf Dalet. We are holding on Chaf Kimel Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom of the Amud. We are right in the midst of the Sugya, discussing the topic of Nidrei Zeiruzin, a neder which was expressed just as a means to encourage, to cajole, used as a negotiating tactic. The Mishnah tells us this type of neder never took off. It's not really halachically considered a neder, being that it was not meant as such. In the first example of Nidrei Zeiruzin, we have a merchant and a customer negotiating a deal. His asking price is $1. The customer offers 50 cents. Each one entrenches his position by way of a neder, and the Mishnah tells us it was never really meant as a neder. They did not mean this seriously. It was just a negotiating ploy, a tactic used in the marketplace. Ultimately, they're both aiming for middle ground. They're fully flexible, ready to compromise, and the neder is not really valid. In the second example of Nidrei Zeiruzin, we have a host extending an invitation to a potential guest who adamantly refuses to come. The host says, look, either you accept my invitation or you can never benefit from me by way of a neder. Says Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, there you go. There's another example of Nidrei Zeiruzin. Look, his threat is totally disproportionate, totally overboard. Just because he doesn't accept your invitation to come join you for your meal, you're going to make him usur bahano, he can never partake from you. It's a isur neder, I mean, totally exaggerated. Apparently, he was just trying to pressure him to come join him, pressure him to come accept that invitation. But in reality, he did not mean that. Neder in a serious fashion. It's just another example of Nidrei Zeiruzin meant to encourage, to cajole, to convince that guest to accept the invitation, and therefore, ultimately, the neder has no legal standing. The question is, Ibailu, two lines from the bottom of the Amud, Pligi Rabbanan Alei Derblezer Ben Yaakov, is there a dissenting view? Do the Rabbanan disagree with him? Perhaps only in the marketplace scenario do we say it's just a negotiating tactic. But in this case, I mean it seriously. Either you come or you're asur bahana. So do the Rabbanan disagree with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who considers this as well as Nidrei Zeiruzin? Do they say no, this is a real neder? Or perhaps there's no disagreement, even they would agree. This is another example of Nidrei Zeiruzin, and therefore, even this type of neder never really takes off. If you propose that they are in dispute, they do consider this a neder. Next question is, what about the halacha lemaase? Hilchas hakavasei, do we follow Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, which is typical throughout Shas? Mishnas Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov kav v'noki. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is only found in very few times throughout Shas, and it's clean, it's clear, it's reliable. Here as well, do we rely on his shita, or perhaps here we have more reason to lean to the Rabbanan. Maybe this fellow really meant bedavka. He meant it seriously. It's a real neder. Toshma, here comes a raya. This non, we have a Mishnah later on in the Masecht. Ha'imer l'chaveri. Reuven turns to Shimon. Koinam she'eini nene l'cha. Any hana that I would partake from you is usher like a carbon, on condition if I will not partake anything, I will not be nana. Im i'ata no'ita lebincha, if you do not agree to accept a gift from myself on behalf of your son, so we're speaking about a son who is being supported by his father, so it's, you know, technically a gift to the father. So I will not benefit from you. I'm not willing to accept anything from you going forward, further, unless you accept from me this great gift. Imiata noita lebincha kur shal chitin, this huge amount of wheat, ushtei chavies shal yain, 2 barrels of wine. That's the deal. Either you accept my gift, or I have nothing to do with you. I will not have any anah from you. The Mishnah says, although technically it's a real nether, but there is an easy way out, even without delivering these goods. He can just release himself of this nether commitment without approaching a chacham for a formal hataras nedarim procedure. How's that? Because this potential recipient can tell the provider, can tell Reuven, look, I know you had me in mind. Klum amarta. Why is it that you committed to this gift? You did it in my honor, for my benefit. Well, guess what? Zehu kvoidi. Refusing the gift. For me, that's a greater honor, which indicates that I'm not dependent on people. I'm soini matonas yichya. Look, people are showering me with gifts, and I don't need your gifts. That's an even greater honor. So you have accomplished what you had set out to do. You wanted to honor me. You wanted to benefit me. This is my greatest pleasure and benefit. So you have fulfilled your condition. There's no need to have another. So again, Reuben says, I will not partake from you, Shimon, unless you accept from me. It's as though he accepted. That's the Mishnah. Let's analyze the Mishnah. Tam ad amar zehu kvoidi. It only works because Shimon, the potential receiver, indicates that he doesn't need a gift. He has enough covered without it. So it's tantamount to him having received it. It is considered a fulfillment of that nether. But otherwise, without this argument, suppose this condition was really not filled. Halav hachi, but otherwise, nederu. It is considered a nether. Why? The purpose of this nether was simply to use it as a ploy, as a means to pressure him to receive the gift. It's like Nidrei Zeiruzin. Mani. Which author? Who's speaking here? Ira Blazer ben Yaakov. Is it that Shita? Well, that's not a nether. Nidrei Zeiruzin Havi. According to him, just as in the Mishnah, when a host is attempting to extend an invitation and trying to get the potential guest to accept that invitation, and he uses a nether in the process, we say, well, it's just Nidrei Zeiruzin here as well. A nether used as a means to encourage this fellow to receive a gift shall be considered as well. Nidrei Zeiruzin, why do you consider it a real nether? Ella, lav Rabbanon. Apparently we have an opposing view, the Rabbanon, who disagree. Shema mino pligi Rabbanon alei. Apparently there's a shita hachaylekes. Rabbanon disagree. This is not Nidrei Zeiruzin. This is for real. In the marketplace, between the buyer and the seller, that's a negotiation. But here, it's a real serious threat. It would seem to be a riot to our question. There is a machlekes, yes. Answers the Gemara, no. You know what? Lo'ilam Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakovi. This Mishnah as well can be fully in line with Rabbi Lezer. Question, why is it a nether? It was just a pressure tactic. The answer is, here it's different. Even Rabbi Lezer would agree that in this case, the Nidra Havi, it is considered a serious nether. You know why? The Amarle. Because Reuven is indicating to Shimon, look, you want me to take from you in the future? Like Halba Ano. You think I'm just a dog? I'm not a dog. Dimis Hanina Minach. That I will just take and take from you, Shimon, without you taking from me. I want it to be a reciprocatory relationship, a two-way friendship. You want me to take from you? Gesundheit. But take from me as well. So that's the condition. And it's an absolute, rational arrangement. The only way I will continue having hanah from you, Mr. Shimon, is if you're accepting my gift today. Of a kur shel chitin and two chaviyes shel yayin. So even Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov agrees, this is a real, genuine nether. It's a serious nether, as opposed to the case in the Mishnah, where you simply have a host running after a guest. Either you come or you're asr bahana. That's going a bit overboard. That's a bit of a disproportionate threat. There, he's just using it as a pressure tactic. And therefore, in that case, and only in that case, would Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov consider it a Nidrei Zeruzin? Toshma, here comes another right. The Mishnah says, Hoimel Chaver. It's going to be a similar arrangement to the previous one, just in the reverse. The characters are sort of reversed. Hoimel Chaver. So Reuven turns to Shimon. Koinem Sha'ata Nanisli. Any hana that you will have for me is also like a korban. So this time Shimon can't take from Reuven. And Reuven continues, on condition, you will be also from me unless, im i'ata noisin libni, unless you provide for my son the same type of deal, kor shel chitit, ushtei chavil shel yayin, an amount of wheat, an amount of wine. Okay, Reb Lezo Eimer, osur ad she'itein, indeed, the neder takes effect until Shimon actually carries out the condition and the Ran brings from the Yerushalmi, that Reb Meir would apply his concept to the previous Mishnah as well. You can't play games. It's as if I took, it's as if I gave. Unless you fulfill the condition, it's asur. But v'chachamim, Eimer, they disagree. Avze, in this case, as well as the previous one, Yachal ha'teres nidrei, shulei apel chacham, you don't need to bother going to a chacham to obliterate this nether. Why? Using the same tactic. Sheyachal leimar, because Reuven, who conditioned this condition upon Shimon, you can't take from me unless you provide for me such and such. He can tell Shimon, look, Sheyachal leimar, hareini ki'ilu iskabalti, you know what? I'm considering it as though I got it from you. I wanted this and this. Well, you know what? Today I feel as good as though I got it. The Ran brings from the Rashba that this would only work when it's something that he was supposed to give him, you know, some monetary benefit. So you can say, look, you know, imagine you give it to me. I can give it right back to you. So may as well just hold it. Right? Instead of giving it to me and giving it back to you, I'm just letting you have it. It's as though I got it. But he brings another pshat that in any case, even if it's something which doesn't involve doing and giving and monetary benefit, he can sort of forgive and do away with that condition by saying, look, I obligated you to do this and this, which would be considered a fulfillment of my rotzen, of a filling of my wish. Now I've decided to rescind that order. And that as well is considered a milui rotzen, fulfillment of my wish. So it's as though the condition was actually kept. Interesting discussion in the Ran. In any case, that's the idea. You don't have to actually give the gift. It's as though, don't trouble yourself, it's as though I'll consider it received. Okay? So that's how you avoid the nether. But, says the Gemara, it's pretty clear from the Mishnah that otherwise it is a genuine nether, even though it was just meant as a pressure tactic. Tama de Amar, hareini kilu iskabalti. We cancel the nether because he considers it received. Okay, halav hachi, but otherwise. Neder, it is a nether. Mani, who's speaking in this Mishnah? Ir Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, is it Reb Elazar? Nidrei Zeruzin havi. This is another classic case of Nidrei Zeruzin. You can't take anything from me unless you give me this and this. You're just meant to pressure him to do it. Elolav Rabbanon. Oh, the fact that the Mishnah considers this a nether, that's because it's Shitas Rabbanon Upli, who disagrees, Reb Elazar. That's an answer to your question. Loi, certainly not, says the Gemara. Loi lam Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. You know what, this Mishnah is fully consistent with Reb Elazar. Why is it considered a nether? I'll tell you why. It's so different than the host and the guest in our Mishnah. Umoider Blazer Bahai the Nidra Havi. Even Reb Elazar would agree that this is an example of a nether. It makes sense that he's being serious. Mishum de Amarle. Because look, Reuven is turning to Shimon. You want to take and take and take from me? You think I'm a king? I'm a provider? It needs to be a two-way deal, a two-way relationship, a two-way friendship. Love Malkano, I'm not a king. The Mahanin Allah, that I'm able to just give and give and provide for you va'at loy mahanisli without you giving anything in return. Let it be a reciprocatory friendship. Otherwise, don't take a thing from me. Interesting, I was thinking that the Pasuk, the Medrash says that Esther Hamalka, when she approached Achashverosh, she called him a kelev. Hatzilo miyad kelev yichidasi. This is in Perek Chavez, Alayelas HaShachar, Perek Chavez in Tehillim. Why'd she call him a kelev? The Gemara Dorm Chavdalet illustrates the difference, the stark difference between a provider and a receiver and a taker. A provider is called a malka, a melech. A taker, a fellow who's always receiving, a people pleaser, always trying to find favor in other people's eyes, he's always on the receiving end, is called a kelev. Achashverosh, you're no king, you're no leader. You don't lead, you don't inspire, you don't motivate, you don't provide. It's all about you and your pleasure and your honor. You're no king, you're a kelev, you're a taker. But actually the Medrash says it wasn't the best way to describe a king, because after all, true, Achashverosh by his own right is merely a kelev, but after all he represents Hashem's malchus. He was appointed by Hashem and Kavod Malchus was still, required. So bottom line is, although Reb Lezer ben Yaakov considers the host guest threat to be just a surface pressure tactic, nothing meaningful there, just a reason. But when it comes to these two Mishnahs, it makes sense. That's a real nether. I don't want to be a kelev, just a taker. I don't want to be just a melech, a provider. Let's make it even, Stephen. Otherwise, the nether kicks in. Amalei Markshish, brother of Chizda Ravashi. Here comes another raya to our discussion. Tashma. We have a Mishnah. Nidrei Einsin. What is an example of a nether which was violated by way of Einis, beyond his control? In which case, he's not obligated. He's not responsible for that. Hidirei Chaveiro Yishayechel Etzlei. Reuven made a nether. Look, Mr. Shimon, unless you come join me for lunch, you may no longer have hanoah from me. V'chalahu. And Shimon, the guest, fell ill. He cannot arrive. Oichalabrayu, or his son, fell ill and held back his father from coming. Oishikvaynar, a river got in the way. The Mishnah says, Hare'elu nidre einsin, and he's potter. Let's make a diyuk. Tama. It's only because he fell ill and it's beyond his control. But otherwise, nederu, it is considered a neder after, despite the fact that it was just a pressure tactic, it was just a means to get him over here. Why is it a neder? This should be another example of nidrei zeiruzin. Mani, who is the author of this mission? Ira blessed ben Yaakov, zeiruzin havi. This is just another example of zeiruzin. El elav rabban, apparently it's rabban. No pligi, and they disagree with Rablezer. That's a riot. There's a machlekes. No, lo'ilam Rablezer ben Yaakov. Even Rablezer ben Yaakov could be speaking this Mishnah. We're not speaking about the same case as our Mishnah, where the host is threatening the guest with a neder. That's certainly nidrei zeiruzin. But here it's different. Umi Saras, do you really think the Adre, Mizamna, the host is the one who triggered that neder, Lizamina, against the Zamina, the guest? No, that would be a nidrei zeiruzin and would not be considered a proper neder. Loi, no, the Zamina, the guest, Adre, he triggered. He initiated. He got the Lemezamna, the host, to make the nether. How's that? The Amalei, the guest, wanted to be invited to the host's party. The Amalei, so he tells the host, Mezamnesli, Lusudasich, will you invite me to your meal? Amalei, in. Host says, sure, certainly. The guest continues. Nether ze. Alaych, will you make a nether to ensure that I come, that you invite me? V'nodar. And the host acquiesced. He agreed to make the nether. So here, it wasn't the host chasing the guest, in which case the nether is just a way to get him here. Nidre zeruzin. In the reverse, actually the guest was the one who initiated and triggered this whole process. So when the host complied and made the nether, it's a real nether. He meant it seriously, in fulfillment of his guest's requests. That's a real neder. Except, v'chalahu, ashechalabnoi, ashechvaynar, something happened to keep him from the party, an oines. Okay, Hari Elu Nidre Einsen, so he's not responsible. But otherwise, this was a real nether. And unrelated to Nidre Zeruzin. Toshma, here comes another ride. Yasser Al Kain, Amar Belezer Ben Yaakov. Furthermore, not only in the case of the host guest, Nidre Zeruzin, in the next case as well, where Belezer Ben Yaakov says, it's considered Nidre Zeruzin. Ha'emel Chavere. Reuben tells Shimon, Koinam Shani Nenelach. It would be also like a carbon, any anah that you would have for me. Sorry, that I will have from you, meaning any anah that I will have from you as asr, im i'ata masarech etzli. If you don't agree to come join me, to be my guest, v'toichal imi, pas chamo, v'tishtei imi chkoisi chamin, have some warm bread, drink a glass of hot drink. A classic case of a guest trying to get a host trying to extend his invitation and pressure his guest to accept. And the Ran points out, you know, unlike the previous Gemara, where it was like a significant offering. Look, I don't want to take from you unless you're accepting from me the huge amount of chitin and the 2 barrels of wine. And as we explained before, that was meant to, you know, circumvent the kelev issue. You know, apparently, says the Ran, Shimon must have done Reuven a big favor, which prompted Reuven to offer him this huge offering of a kur shel chitin and 2 chavis shel yain. And it makes sense, it's fear, that he's not willing to continue taking from Shimon unless Shimon is willing to accept a gift in return. Otherwise, Reuven is like a kelev, just taking and taking. But here, he's only offering him something very minimal, you know, a little bread and water. Apparently, we're not dealing with the same situation where, you know, Reuven feels totally indebted to Shimon. He's just a plain host. Look, I don't want to take from you unless you're willing to accept my invitation as well. That's a classic, you know, situation where a host is pressuring a guest to come join and using a nether as a means to do that. And Shimon, the potential guest, totally snubs Reuven, adamantly refuses to join him, doesn't want to burden him. Says Reb Lezer Ben Yaakov, even though he's being so specific, I want you to come to have this slice of bread, this cup of milk, you know. He's being so specific in his offering and his stipulations. Still, Reb Lezer Ben Yaakov maintains, just another example of Nidre Zeruzin, Af Elu Nidre Zeruzin, and it doesn't really have any legitimacy. V'loi hoidele chachamim. Chachamim were in total disagreement. Maila hoidele chachamim. When we say the chachamim disagree, lav da'afilu v'kamaisa. They don't differentiate. They didn't consider this Zeruzin, nor in the first case. And now Mishnah, where it was just a general invitation, come join me, and he refused, and he applied another. In both, the Chachamim do not consider it Nidre Zeruzin. He meant what he said what he meant. Ushmamina, we hear from this, that indeed, Pligi Rabbanon Alei Rabbanon, on disagreement with Rabbi Ben Yaakov, Shmamina, it's a riot. So they consider this a Nidre, a regular nether. Maya Havala, so what's the conclusion? Lalocha Lamasa. A nether employed by a potential host to pressure his guest to accept an invitation. Is that an example of Nidre Zeruzin, or is it just the merchants in the marketplace using it as a negotiating tactic? Maya Vaila, what's the conclusion? Tashma, Damar Huna, Halacha, Krobles Ben Yaakov. That's how we paskin. It's Nidre Zeruzin, V'chein Amar V'adabar Avo, Halacha, Krobles Ben Yaakov. All these are considered Nidre Zeruzin, but the Ran points out, except for the exceptions that we mentioned before. Meaning, in a standard host-guest scenario, come to me for the meal, otherwise you can never have anything from me. That's just a way to pressure. That's overboard. That's disproportionate. Why would you make a nether? He did nothing wrong. That's called Nidre Zeruzin. So even if he doesn't accept the offer, there's no isser, there's no nether. But in a case where Reuven feels indebted, and he says, look, I don't want to keep on taking from you unless you accept from me as well. I don't want to be a caliph. Or in the opposite case, where he says, you know, you can't keep on taking from me unless you give me something as well. It needs to be reciprocatory. Or in the third case, where it was the guest who was looking to secure this invitation, and he used a nether to secure it. That's not Zeruzin. So in all those situations, of course, the nether is in fact a nether. So moving along on that list of four nedarim, which are not considered nedarim, we have item number two, nidrei havai, a neder, in a boastful, exaggerating situation. For instance, Amar, a fellow gets up and says, koinam, these fruit are usher like a carbon. If you don't believe me, what I saw today, wow, in later isi b'derech hazeh, there was such traffic on the road. You know how much? You know how many people were there? You know how many cars? Ka'ilim Mitzrayim. There were so many, like the Gittin leaving Mitzrayim, 600,000 people. If I didn't see that many people, if you don't believe me, this thing is asr. Another example of a total ludicrous, exaggeration. Emlor isi nochash. It's going to be asr. If you don't believe me that I saw this, if I didn't see the snake, which was the most peculiar, unusual snake, Kikures Beis Abad, who was full of crevices and cracks, and like the beam used in the oil press, which is full of crevices and scrapes. So basically, he's exaggerating. But that's just the way people speak. And therefore, it's not considered binding. The fruit is totally mutter. Even if he didn't actually see 600,000 people during rush hour, or he didn't see this type of snake. In fact, the Ran points out that when it comes to the snake, nobody would even fathom that he saw this type of snake. But it was just a boastful, blabbering way of speaking, and therefore it has no legal validity. Says the Gemara, Tana, we learned in a Braisa. Just like the Mishnah tells us that Nidrei Havai Mutarn, a neder, which was simply an expression of exaggeration, is considered okay, is mutar, is not legally binding. Shvois Havai Asurin, and there's a Gersa, Shvois Havai Mutarn, just as the concept of Havai, exaggeration, overspeak, applies to neder, it applies to Shvua as well, and is not legally binding. Asks the Gemara, Hechi dami shvu'a is havai. How is it that you can have a shvu'a havai? Ilema. Perhaps the Amar, he said, shvu'a im lo ra'isi baderech hazeh. He says, look, I'm committing with shvu'a if I have not noticed this large crowd, this huge crowd on the road. Well, midam, was there anything ka'amar, which he said, meaning it's pretty much incoherent. It's not a properly structured statement. Shvuah, if I did not see, it doesn't mean much. Amar Abaye, rather he meant like this. The Amar, if he says Shvuah Shara'isi, I swear that I saw such and such. And of course, he expressed himself in an exaggerated fashion. It is mutar as well. The Ran explains, don't think, Shvuah, which is more severe, more harsh than neder, and invokes the Shem Hashem. People perhaps would not express themselves by way of a shvuah if it was just an exaggeration. No, it is acceptable as well. It's a mode of speech. So for instance, he says, I saw this large crowd, I was stuck in traffic as large as Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's just a way of exaggeration. It's not considered a shvuas sheker. Amle Rava. Imkain, if that was what he said, Lamali Lamemer, why would the Brice even have to, add that to the list? According to Rava, just as an exaggerated neder is worthless, an exaggerated shvua is no better, there's no need to even talk about it. V'oid, in addition, he says, number two, dumya de neder ketani, and the Rush explains, just as neder involves making something usher, if we're to pair up shvua to neder in the same halacha, then presumably shvua also involves an item which potentially can become usur. Well, according to you, Abaye, it's just simply, I swear that I saw this. It doesn't really relate to making something usur, and we're meant to compare it to match it to neder. So shvua and neder are in similar fashion, and how is that? Elama rova, rather like this. Shvua, which is mutter, is speaking about Bo'imer when he says, Ye asru peiros ha'ilam alai b'shvua. Look, I am now committing, taking upon myself, with the power of shvua, to make all the peiros in the world usur upon me, if what I'm saying is not true. Im lo'er isi, if in fact I did not see b'derech hazeh on this road, ka'ele Mitzrayim, a huge multitude, a huge crowd, like the Eile Mitzrayim. So even though he related to an item, peiros, making them usur, if in fact his account is untrue, we don't take him seriously, it's just an exaggeration, and of course it doesn't affect the status of those peiros. So these are examples of Nidrei Havai and Shvuois Havai. Amar Ravina Ravashi, why are they called exaggerations? Who's to say that what he's saying is not an accurate reflection of the actual fact? Vildil Mahai Gavra, maybe this fellow who's claiming to have witnessed a huge crowd like Yetzias Mitzrayim, maybe Kina, a gathering the Shum Shemoni of ants, a huge gathering of ants, 600,000 of them. Chaza, that's what he experienced. Vasek Lahain Shmo, Eile Mitzrayim, and he simply labeled them, he tagged them, Eile Mitzrayim. But it's just another way of him saying, I saw a huge gathering of ants. Shafar Mishtaban, actually, his account is an accurate reflection of the truth. His shvua is emes, is genuine, is real. Why do you call it havai, exaggeration? Ravashi responds, Amalei ki mishtaba, because when a person makes his shvua, adata didan mishtaba. We're going to see this as a recurring theme throughout the next daf, Bezus Hashem. When a person makes his shvua, it's based on our understanding, on our perception of the matter. Vanan lemaskin nafshin ashem shemoni. And when we hear about a crowd the size of Yitzil Mitzrayim, we don't relate it to ants. So if he speaks in this manner, it has to be framed the way we understand things. And the only way to excuse him is by attributing his words to just an exaggerated mode of expression. Okay, so conclusion. We discussed two types of non-nedarim, Nidrei Zeiruzin and Nidrei Havai. Nidrei Zeiruzin can encompass two possible situations. Either the merchant in the marketplace just trying to negotiate a deal. So although they express themselves harshly with neder, they don't mean it seriously. It's just a means to get to the common ground, to get to the compromise. Another example of Nidrei Zeiruzin was Rezer ben Yaakov, a host pressuring a guest, using the nether method to get him to come. That too is an exaggerated means of achieving a goal. It doesn't really mean it seriously. Chachamim disagree, but we paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. The Gemara did give us some examples of some exceptions, of examples of cases where even Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov would agree that it is a proper nether, a case where he says, look, I don't want to just take and not give, or he says, I don't want to just give and not take. Another example of which was with the guest is the one who initiated this nether. So there it's serious. And we concluded with various expressions of havai, of exaggeration, which are not to be taken seriously. Have atzlacha always, and besuris tevis to you.